powerful person. He was a person that used power, but he only operated under the power of the Melech. But he himself wasn't really. He himself was fearful, and he needed the Melech to support him. And that's why he really was loyal to Achashverosh. Shemal Melech Tov. And he was in Asherasolof and Kikar Kesef Eshkol. He didn't want to put the Melech out. I mean, he really was loyal to the Melech. And he was really a servile person. But he was a Rasha once he had the Melech on his side. But he really was not, the suspicion of Achashverosh was completely unjustified. Because he was a totally loyal servant. As a matter of fact, what he did in the first decree was to appease the Melech, because the Melech killed Vashti, and he saw the Melech was upset, so he made it into a whole decree. On the contrary, she was really a Rasha, that she was changing the whole policy, and it's a dangerous thing, and there has to be a decree. So you see, he was very concerned about the Melech. He had tremendous loyalty to the Melech. And he was concerned that the Melech should be appeased. And that was his whole thing, was to work under the Melech. But he himself really was not strong without the Melech. He wasn't a prime mover as a Rasha. He needed the Melech. And when Achashverosh suspected him of disloyalty, it was really completely unjustified. He never had anything in mind. He wouldn't do anything on his own. So the thing is that, see, Achashverosh, like a lot of top-flight businessmen and leaders, are very suspicious. They're often very suspicious people. But that suspicion is unwarranted, but it serves them well, because they have like an extra antenna out for people that are rebellious because of their nature, because of their suspicious nature. So the thing is, that's why the Melech was always suspicious. And that's why by Vashti really did something that wasn't deserving of death, because it was her own, she didn't want to reduce herself. It was her own coven. But he looked at it immediately with suspicion as rebellion, and he killed her. He wouldn't have killed her if he thought that she can't do it because she just can't get herself to do it because it's too degrading for her. That wouldn't be deserving of Nisa. Nisa is always Marid B'Malchus. So he was always suspicious of merit. And merit got him to execute her. So the thing was, that's why Chazal said that he killed his wife because of his friend, and then he killed his friend because of his wife. So the suspicion, the suspicion basically was one that was unwarranted. In both cases, it was unwarranted. But that was his nature. No doubt that helped him very much to achieve power. Because a person that has that kind of suspicious nature will always root out the person that's deserving of suspicion.
Okay. Does that help?
And you see also, I mean, something, and maybe it's not a riot to it, but it certainly is a remiss to it. The fact that anyone that goes into the Lifnei HaMelech, Pachatzar Beis HaMelech, Ashelo Yikore, Achas Dasa Lahamas. Like you're invading his, that's like a part of that suspicious nature. You're invading his domain. So it's rebellion. So that's why it's Achas Dasa Lahamas. I mean, it's a part of that character type. That's why he was so strict over there, because immediately when somebody coming in, to him had like a quality of rebellion and invasion. Unless you found favor in his eyes, and his good nature could excuse you. But otherwise, it's tantamount to rebellion. But that all goes together with the type of character he was. But just give me a second. Something else goes on. Yeah, that's why, by the way, that's why with the Jews, Haman was so successful. And Haman showed him that these people are really suspect.
Right.
That's why it appealed to him. That's why it appealed. It wasn't just that he was a son of Israel. It was a part of his whole nature, and Haman played into that nature of his, of suspicion, that Dasayim Shons Mikolam, Dasayim Melachayna Mosin, so that whole thing played into his mentality. And Big Son Vaseresh, you see, that's why Big Son Vaseresh got him very suspicious of Haman, because here was true rebellion, rebellion of the worst kind. They wanted to kill him. And nothing was done to quell such rebellion and to show an example of loyalty in order to protect the Melech from such type of rebellion. So that again fed into his whole nature. So you see that the whole thing, the whole Megillah really revolves around that nature of Ahasuerus, that he was suspicious. And really Haman was servile. He was a Rasha once he had the Melech on his side. But he was a very servile person. And that would explain why he wouldn't execute Mordechai immediately. Because he wouldn't do it because there was no edict given that anyone that doesn't bow down to him should be executed. And if he would do that, he would be taking a chance. And he didn't have the security to do it. Maybe the Melech didn't want that. Maybe the Melech liked Mordechai. He couldn't do it on his own. He always needed the Melech. And that's why that was so amazing, was that Esther was able to make him suspicious of somebody who had absolutely no grounds to be suspicious of. That was really the nace. But the question in the Gemara is that it's true that he had a suspicious nature, but when the Gemara says, was he a tipesh or was he a chacham, the question is, how far did that suspicious nature go? Would it go so far as really to lead to his own destruction, or was under control? And while he may execute somebody that doesn't deserve execution, but it wouldn't go so far as for him to lose control and do something totally crazy that would endanger his whole malchus.
He wasn't in neurosis.
That was the question. Was he a melech tipesh or melech chacham? But that would answer your question, why he didn't execute Mordechai.
Because Haman wouldn't act on his own if the king didn't necessarily want Mordechai.
That's right. His whole thing was to find favor in the king's eyes. He wouldn't chance not finding favor.
It's interesting, even though he had that servile personality, he still was a tremendous egomaniac.
Tremendous, right. Yeah, that's right. Cause
usually you don't find that in the same type of thing, because usually an egomaniac has a big quest for power, too.
It's not true, though. You see, like a guy like Goebbels.
Like who?
Goebbels. Uh-huh. Or who was the other guy there?
Yeah. I'm not saying it can't be that way, logically. I'm just saying usually they go hand in hand. That's all.
Yeah, but a lot of those guys, who else was there?
Himmler?
Korach. And who else?
Korach.
Who?
Korach.
Eichmann.
He was very happy when Moshe and Aaron, his cousins, were the power. It's only when they went over his neck.
Well, Korach was really a independently powerful guy.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that there are Rishayim that can execute Rishis, but only under the domain of a leader, a powerful leader. But they're not necessarily people that would that can. Be independently powerful. And that's the case with Haman. Fits into his profile. He wasn't the same as Hitler. Hitler was independent Russia. He was a servile Russia. He was the same insofar as his Sinas Yisrael was concerned, but he wasn't the same as insofar as his personality. He needed the Melech.
He also could have been hesitant about Mordechai because he knew the incident that Mordechai expressed his loyalty by the king from uncovering that plot.
Right, I was going to say, it's not a neutral thing. It might have reflected badly on him to kill Mordechai.
That's correct.
Right, that's when he became suspicious of Haman.
Right, that's right.
You mean because
why?
When did he become suspicious of Haman?
Then
what?
Sefer
Zechronos. Yeah, by Lahu, because He said, if he's so loyal, so why doesn't he help me loyalty by giving cover to those who are loyal?
You know, like Haman really should. Haman was in charge of supposed to, like, rewarding Mordechai for Bigson and Sarish, and he didn't because. Is that what you mean? Like,
why didn't he? Why didn't he make that suggestion to the Melech?
Right. Like, Haman was like in charge of a lot of stuff. He should have rewarded Mordechai on his own, taking care of the.
He's certainly one of the Chachamim. Right. One of the advisors.
Yep. Very nice job.
I mean, I guess it also explain, if you say that Haman, like, that was Haman's responsibility to reward, take care of whoever tipped off the...
Well, yeah, it's an automatic responsibility of anybody who's a close to the Melech. I mean, a close advisor, and he appears to have been the closest advisor.
Right. Yeah. That also explains why Mordechai, in fact, wasn't rewarded. I mean, it is strange that he saved the king and he didn't get anything for him.
Why Ahasuerus didn't reward him?
Yeah, it must be Ahasuerus, left the responsibility up to Haman. You know what I mean? Ahasuerus not going to take care of everything.
Question. Somebody asked me that question. Why didn't Ahasuerus himself reward Mordechai?
Well, he was now.
But if you say that, basically, Ahasuerus doesn't take care of all the details of the kingdom, that's other people's responsibilities to take care of these things.
He made sure Haman was dead.
Haman was Haman's responsibility, basically. Haman didn't do it because it was Mordechai.
Yeah, but why would he do it
himself? Because
he hates Mordechai.
It was before the whole event with Mordechai.
It could be Ahasuerus didn't do it. I mean, it could be because Haman was a Yehudi. I mean, it's very possible that he had an underlying sinner.
Mordechai.
For Mordechai.
Yeah, but Josh him anyway, that he knew Mordechai from before.
Right.
Is that true?
Rabbi.
Yes.
You see that his, he did also, Ahasuerus did have security in his sense of suspicion, because once he saw a person that passed all the tests, he gave up his ring to him.
That's true. I mean, that's part of the nature of Purim, that he gave up everything to Mordechai and to the Yehudim. I mean, that's...
But I'm saying even before that, he gave it to Haman.
That's correct. That he did recognize absolute loyalty, and once he... felt very secure. That is true. That's another aspect of his personality. While he was very suspicious, when he saw absolute loyalty, he didn't hesitate to put his life on the line with those people. That's true. Gives him felt totally secure in them. That's an interesting thing. What's that?
I'm saying, is that a smart thing or a bad thing? Is it a
chacham
or a
deep age? I mean, I guess that's what Chazal were wondering about.
Yep.
Because the question is, because the person can be, he certainly was a chacham. I mean, no one
yeah.
can't be a fool.
Right.
It means, did his success as a melech depend more upon the events and situations, and had he had a different set of situations, he could have been ruined with his... with his crazy suspicions.
Right.
Or was he very suspicious, but it was under control? I mean, it would reach a... He was able to be successful in spite of that.
Well, it could have helped them, like you said, because suspicious people can be successful too. Because when
they say that. One time saw where they were studying psychology of some very powerful people.
Nixon was like that.
Yeah, Nixon was definitely like that. He was definitely like that.
Yeah, that was his...
Well, see, that's the thing. He was a teepesh.
Yep, yep.
That's a good example. That's a very good example.
Yep.
Because it led him to power, because those suspicions helped him in order...
To get there.
...root out his enemies. But it was such a strong force in his nature that it led to his downfall.
Yeah.
That's an excellent example.
Yeah.
That's what Chazal mean by teepesh.
Right.
Had it not been that powerful, he could have been one of the most successful presidents.
Right.
One of the greatest. Could have gone down as one of the greatest.
Maybe that's the question is in terms of like his realization of the sense of suspicion, if that was a rational, you know, under rationality or not. Meaning in terms of his...
That's correct. And under how much of control of rationality was that emotion?
Right.
That's the question. emotion itself is not going to, it's going to sway the rationale to some extent, but the question is, it's a question of degree. It's a question of degree.
Very nice.
Yes, there was one thing that Rabbi Wolf one time read to me about Nixon. Something that he they had some quotes from him, and it was very similar to Haman. Very similar. I remember he was reading it to me. Maybe you can get it again from him. But the way he was suspicious of the Jews. Very similar.
I mean, before Achashverosh, it made sense that he either had to be suspicious, like with the Kalim, that the Jews are going to attack him.
Right.
Or afterwards, when there's the opposite, the Jews are now, you know, in line with him, so now he had to take security in them. But he had to have some view of the Jews. He couldn't just be neutral about them.
Neutral. But the reason why he didn't reward Mordechai was because Mordechai Yehudi. But then when Haman became a greater threat, criticized him for not, he was suspicious of him of doing it and not be, and in other words, he forgot the reason why he omitted it, and he made it into a whole plot that Haman's trying to get people to be, not to encourage people to be loyal.
Yeah.
Well, so suddenly, I mean, suspicious people, that's what happens, like a pattern starts emerging in their mind. And once they see that pattern, they become convinced that it's real.
Right, it's like conspiracy theory.
Conspiracy theory, yeah.
You know, Rebbe, it is amazing that Nixon had that same personality.
Yeah, he's an excellent example.
Yeah, but yet he turned out to be a big Oved Yisrael during the Milchama. That's a real, you see, Ashkach, I mean, that's a real, I mean, it's totally, it's like here. I mean, you know, he's suspicious of the Jews. You see it in all the things, even the way he talked about Kissinger. It's like incredible. But yet, when it came to the survival of the Ummah, he stepped up.
That's what's funny about him, because when it came, because even though he was suspicious of Kissinger because he's a Jew,
he was his biggest advisor.
And he really wasn't. I think Kissinger said he wasn't even too friendly with him.
No, he wasn't. They never socialized, they said.
So it seems over there is a case where his intellect prevailed over his emotions.
So I thought he was just scared. I think the shot was that he was just scared of the Jews and he didn't want to upset them. He thought they controlled the money. I mean, I'm not kidding. I remember that was other quotes I remember. I don't know if he picked the Jews because of Chachma. He was scared.
Right, I mean, if the Jews are powerful, you're scared of them and you're paranoid about them. But on the other hand, you want to get in on their good side.
Yeah, it's true. He was really, he had tremendous ambivalence there with the Jews. But the only time that he really endangered himself was where he could not tolerate not knowing what the not satisfying his curiosity about the suspicions.
Right.
That seemed to be his downfall.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, interesting personality.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
Pretty wild.
Okay.
All right.
Take care.
Okay.